What time is it, kids?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
When it's radio, it's just those words are gone. Everything we do here, it's in a vacuum.
Jeff Lutz.
I have something against most older people's ideas. They just don't have any. We're at the top of pretty much everything. And here are boomers. Hey, I got my house and my social security, and I'm good.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Your visit is always discreet.
Stand by for action.
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host. Max Power Producers and Engineers, 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. So UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka, the Rebels off to a 3-0 start. Looked like a possibility to get into the college football playoff. And the quarterback today announced he's leaving because the school has not met its NIL responsibility or commitment. So he's out.
He gone.
And all kinds of maneuvering here. The school says one thing, the player says another. His dad is on, obviously, the side of the player, the agent, everybody weighing in. No signed deal, so it was mostly just, you come to play at UNLV.
We'll give you $100,000.
We got $100,000. And they say that commitment was made by one of the assistant coaches, and UNLV says, we still plan on honoring that commitment, but we just haven't quite gotten around to it. It's just, there is no blueprint for any of this, and it's a disaster. And unless they get some kind of guidelines in place, guardrails, unless we start to gain an understanding of how these agreements are come to, They better start operating like,
I guess,
the real pro sports. But then when they do that, they become a lesser version of the real pro sports. And where does that leave college sports?
I guess I don't understand what guardrails or guidelines there could potentially be. We're now in a capitalist.
Well, they haven't been pro sports.
Not really.
You sign a contract.
Right. He didn't sign a contract.
Right. So let's sign a contract.
They entered into a potentially a verbal contract.
And that should not be happening.
And once he felt like that was broken, he left.
If you want the kid, you sign him to a deal.
I don't know. I don't know how that all works or how that's supposed to work.
It works like it does in Major League Baseball or NFL.
Yeah, but if someone doesn't pay you and said they would or signed a contract that they would,
then they're liable for that.
Then maybe you can quit.
No, that shouldn't happen. That's my point.
Probably shouldn't happen.
There have to be mandates and rules in place so that this kind of stuff, yeah, I'll come play for you. You're going to give me $100,000? Great. I don't need an agreement. Well, hey, thank you, buddy. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, wait, it's week three. I've gotten $3,000. What's going on?
So he went
that
to
can't
the,
happen.
He went to the head coach, I'm sure, and said, hey, this assistant told me I was getting $100,000. What's up with that? Where's that coming from? And the coach said, yeah, well, we didn't all agree to that. That was just said by some guy on my staff. I'm not.
No, that had that. If that's what happened.
That's what happened.
UNLV ought to be banished from the. There's no way.
Of course.
That he went. No, there's no way.
He just said that assistant is the guy who told him. He didn't say the head coach.
And
so,
I'm sure all have been aware.
I don't know.
They didn't on the head coach today.
But I'm sure the head coach still has been like, well, that's not something that we agreed to, me and you.
I don't know what the head coach said.
Of this program.
Dave Odom has a great reputation. I don't know what the head coach said.
And you're not getting $100,000.
I doubt that that's what how it went down.
I bet that that's what happened.
That's so.
90-10, that's what happened.
No.
Then tell me. How
10-90.
How did it happen?
He just never got paid.
And never talked to anyone about it.
It was an agreement. Listen. If you're a player and you're going to go play at a school like UNLV and some assistant coach says, we're going to give you $100,000 and you don't have somebody verify that, validate it through the school, then you're a moron.
I don't know. I don't know how.
If somebody offered you $100,000 and didn't ask you to sign a contract for it. Well, they weren't on the hook for it legally. Then, are you signing that? Are you? What are you doing?
I'm going, and then in 3 weeks, if they hadn't paid me, I'm gone. Thanks anyway. But
so you're gonna affect your image, and you're gonna bring all this wrath on yourself.
How am I bringing it on myself?
Have you seen the response to this young man? Have you seen it?
He's doing what's best for him.
Are you paying attention to it?
I don't care how people are responding to him.
Are you paying attention to it?
Don't care how people respond to him. That's the internet.
We don't know the real story here. You're buying into his version of it.
Right.
But you don't know. That's the problem. No one knows.
Well,
no one knows how this went down. No one knows what should have happened or
I'm
what has happened.
I'm more inclined to believe that a payment
But
was
it doesn't
missed.
Matter what you're most inclined to believe.
And he's not just
going to
quit a 3-0 team for no reason.
It doesn't matter what you're inclined to believe.
Then what are we talking about?
I don't know. That's the problem with this. There's no paperwork. There's no contract. There seems to be nothing to go on except these conflicting stories from both camps.
What is UNLV's story?
This can't continue.
What is UNLV's story? Because when I read this story earlier, UNLV, I don't think had commented. So I don't know what UNLV's side of the story is, or if Dave Odom has commented, or anyone in the athletic program.
UNLV Athletics interpreted these demands as a violation of the NCAA pay-per-play rules, as well as Nevada state law. UNLV does not engage in such activity, nor does it respond to implied threats. UNLV has honored all previously agreed-upon scholarships for Matthew Sluka. UNLV has conducted its due diligence and will continue to operate its programs within the framework of NCAA rules and regulations, as well as Nevada state law. That's the response from UNLV, which conflicts with
Right, so there was a...
So that's my...
There was a, you can't fire me, I quit.
Why don't you understand that my point here is you can't have this kind of confusion. And this is what NIL...
Then I put that on the adults, that there was confusion.
Sure.
I'm not going to put that on the... Now, he's an adult, too, but I'm not going to put that...
He's a 22-year-old guy.
On the player. I'm not going to put that on him. If there was confusion and you got him there under some kind of false pretenses, that's on the adults and that's on the coaches.
What did the kid say to his parents?
They said they'd pay me $100,000.
And what did the parents say?
Oh, wow.
And then what?
You came from Holy Cross and now you get
to... And then what?
Head on over there, Lucas, or whatever.
Wait a minute. The parent didn't say, how do you know they're going to pay you $100,000?
Of course not.
Who told you they're going to play $100,000? They the pa-
No.
Jeff, I can't believe you sometimes.
No, they didn't. Someone
just said, that's great, Matthew. Have
yeah,
fun.
If I come here and tell you, hey, KWCH is giving me a $20,000 raise, you wouldn't say, who's doing that? You'd say,
no,
okay, that's awesome.
I would presume that they'd taken care of their obligation.
Right.
But with this, I don't presume anything.
His parents probably believed, wow, you get just like he'd say that if
and
I got
so
a full
ride. You're giving this kid a pass?
I'm saying it's more on the...
They told me they're going to give me $100,000. I think I'll go over there and play for them.
Yeah.
And without anything written
and
down.
I think if there was confusion, that's on the coaches. And that's on the athletic program. Let's get Kevin Saul on, see what he thinks. We had him on yesterday. Call him up.
I'll get him on again. I know what he'd think.
I guarantee you he'd put that on the athletic department.
I guarantee you that if Wichita State is dropping $100,000 on a player, they're documenting it beyond reproach.
There, you're onto something, aren't you? Who's doing that?
Both sides.
The adults are making sure those T's are crossed.
This is an
I's
adult.
Are dotted.
This is
you
a
know
college?
What I'm saying.
No, I don't know what
Who's
you're
more
saying.
Impressionable, the 22-year-old Holy Cross
Jeff,
transfer?
How old was Ronald Acuna Jr. when he signed his deal with the Atlanta Braves?
I don't know. He signed
Look
a bad
into
deal.
It. Look
Doesn't
into
matter.
It.
College athletes are different than Ronald Acuna, who had been dealing.
Well, they better not be, because this dealing, is a new era.
Who had been dealing in pro sports since he was 16.
The college athlete better be adept at dealing with this stuff.
Well, they're not yet.
And if they're not, this is what happens.
Especially a Holy Cross transfer. It's not like this guy was coming from Alabama. He was coming from Holy Cross. And he probably said, holy cow, I'm getting $100,000.
Do you just like to argue? Is that
no,
basically
it? No, I believe
this. You really believe this?
Yes.
It's astounding to me.
Well, you don't have an 18-year-old who would probably, someone tells him they're got $100,000 for you over here. She's on the next flight.
And, 18, and what would you say?
Oh, awesome.
Really? That's what you'd do?
Sure.
You wouldn't ask, how'd this come about?
No, no way. What,
do you have a...
Do I get a cut?
Do you have an agreement on this? You do have an 18. So she'd come to you and say, hey, I got this opportunity to go do this. They're going to give me $100,000.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't ask any questions.
I would ask questions, but
what would you ask?
I wouldn't ask any. If she said, "Hey, the New York fashion school is giving me $100,000 to come do a special project for them," I'd say, "Yeah, what's the project?" I wouldn't say, "Really, you're getting $100,000 for that?" I would believe that a reputable organization was going to follow through on what it said. And you're welcome for that.
You would not even ask the question, well, can I read the contract? I think we ought to get this looked at.
I don't think so. She's an adult.
You just said 22 wasn't an adult.
I said it's on, I would say it's on the adults. It's on the coaches.
Is she an adult?
It's on the professionals. How about that?
So you'll trust the professionals?
No.
That are telling Aaron... They're going to give her $100,000.
Yeah, and if they
and
don't,
put her on a plane and say, "Go get them."
Yeah, and if they don't, she gone. We're not standing for that crap.
And you wouldn't
tell me I'm.
You wouldn't ask her to
six make, figures.
Make sure this is real.
No, because I. Why would I,
Jeff? I can't believe
it. Why would I? It's coming from a reputable. It's not like, you know, hey, this guy down the street. Give me $100,000. It's UNLV. Why would he just make that up? Yeah, I would trust my child.
Does the assistant coach have the authority to?
Well, he told
hey,
me.
Dad, I got a question. No, let me.
Well,
talk.
He told me everybody
let
was
me
it, was okay
let
with
me
it.
Talk.
I'm answering you.
Wouldn't you wonder? Okay, the assistant coach tells him he's going to get $100,000. What? What authority does the assistant coach have here? I maybe want to find that out. It looks bad for everybody. Player, parent, agent, school, everybody.
Right.
This is bad for everybody.
But you said earlier that everyone knows about it and that it didn't get past Dave Odom. Then he must have known when he set foot on campus that someone
I would hope
agreed to pay this kid $100,000 or that he
I
believed that.
You would certainly think.
So there you go. It's on. I
want to get back
it's
to
on
your
the professionals.
This frightens me.
Why?
So she can just walk into the house someday and say, hey, guess what? This Flower and Beauty Art Institute. They want to give me $100,000 to come.
Yeah, I would say that's awesome. Yeah. What do they have you doing? I would never question the money. If someone told her that, I would from a reputable and highly thought of institute of higher learning, I'd be like, yeah, cool. What's the project? How long is it going to take? I wouldn't go. Really? Do they have $100,000 to give you?
You wouldn't say, have you signed a paper? I'd like our attorney.
No,
to look
good
at this.
An
and
attorney
sure everything's
over
on the
100,000. I'm paying.
Sure,
I'm paying attorney 20% to look at a barely.
I don't know what you're paying an attorney. Just
a
look,
lot.
Just let's take a look at this and make sure it's real. My,
well, I believe
goodness.
That it's real.
That poor kid. I
and
may have to.
The kid should have believed that it's
I
real.
I may have to step in and raise
and
her.
And his parents.
My God,
we're not wrong to believe
I'm
that it was
talk
real.
To your wife. About
in an era
this.
Of NIL, I mean, I'm sure. Kids go home to their parents all the time. This car company's giving me $4 million. And, okay, yeah, that's awesome.
You better have it nailed down if you're going to...
Is that my problem?
course it is.
As the parent, or?
Of course it is.
What's the damage if it's not? I mean,
this? You don't think this is damaging to everybody? This is damaging. This is what happens.
It's more damaging to UNLV.
I don't know.
Who this I put on they, 100%.
But they, the statement they put out is a pretty valid one.
Could be.
It might be damning to the coaching staff.
But it's also...
Or it might be damning. Let me talk. You're not even listening.
I am listening.
I was responding. I think, ultimately, this is a matter of nobody being on the same page, empty promises
being
made.
And who is that on, ultimately?
And that can't... that if you think that's one case... until there are guidelines and stipulations on how this all works, we're going to have this commonplace.
I give you...
All right.
No, hold on. I have a question. Can I ask the question? I have 100 points of responsibility here. You get to divvy them out to the parents,
I don't know enough about it.
And the coaches.
I don't know enough about
it. But who do you think?
I don't know.
I do.
I honestly don't know. This has to play out. Who I blame... is that we got way ahead of ourselves on all this stuff, and it's going to continue to bite us because we just jumped in, and nobody really knows how it works. Nobody knows the rules. If you want to blame somebody, I guess you just blame college sports. All right, we'll take a break. Terry Nooner, we'll get his opinion on this. Terry Nooner, women's basketball coach at Wichita State, will join us next. He's involved in the NIL world. I'm curious to know. I'd love to have Kevin Saul on to address this because it's fascinating to me. Back in a minute. Here's Terry Nooner, head women's basketball coach at Wichita State. The Shockers have begun practice. They have an exhibition game coming up in a little over a month against Northeastern State, and then they open the season at home against Oklahoma Christian on November 4th. Coach Nooner, hello, welcome.
Hey, how you doing? Good to be on with you guys.
So you're a busy guy. You've got your own team to worry about here, but I wanted to ask you about this NIL stuff because it's just pervasive in college sports, and the situation we've seen today with the quarterback at UNLV deciding to leave his team because, in his opinion, their commitment had not been met. So he leaves a team that's 3-0. Does that send shivers down your spine a little bit? How do you feel about all that?
I mean, I just think it's I think at some point that we feel like there's going to have to be some type of legislation from the NCAA or somebody just to put some type of guardrails on the whole system. I mean, I understand and I agree that I think that players need to be able to receive some type of compensation for. You know, their name, image, and likeness, and but you just want it to be some type of rules or something. I mean, just so that it can be even across the board, I think will be best.
Yeah, it's definitely a slippery slope, but I want to talk about your team now, and you brought back several of your key players. You went into the transfer portal. You recruited a lot. So what were your goals going into the offseason about building this roster and giving it maybe a little bit of a different look?
I mean, I think for us, the biggest things is there were a bunch of specific skill set areas that I think we kind of lacked last year. Probably the biggest, I would say, would probably be outside shooting. Rebounding, I would say, would be some. But I think what we decided as a staff is we wanted to just bring kids that kind of met like a certain kind of model. They had to work hard. They had to, you know, be gym rat type kids. They had to be competitors. They had to be people that kind of play with a chip on their shoulders. And I think within that, that's what we targeted within the kids. And I think within that, we added a little more shooting. We wanted to add a lot more speed and playmaking, which we did. We added size, so that's going to improve the rebounding. But at our core and our foundation, we want to be the hardest working team every single night. And everybody we play, we want to kind of hang our hats on the fact that we work harder and we're more well-conditioned than the team that we play. And I think we've done that.
Terry Nooner, our guest, the head women's basketball coach at Wichita State. So this, it's always been an interesting dynamic with women's basketball. At Wichita State, I've often said, and I've been around here a long time, I've often said, I think this is a sleeping giant. I think that Wichita State women's basketball can be something that may, if not fills Koch Arena, certainly gets it three quarters full on a consistent basis. But it just doesn't happen. Do you feel the same way? Do you think this is something that can really take off under the right circumstances?
Of course. I think it's, I actually, as you say that, so I have like a big frame picture on my wall. It's from March 1st, 2014, when the guys were 31-0 and they were playing against Missouri State. And it was like, it was a sea of yellow. It was packed all the way to the rafters. And I look at that picture every day because that's kind of like me just establishing my vision and goals for what I want our program to grow to. But I think we can. I think if you put a great product out on the floor, I think our city just loves people that are tough and gritty and that are underdogs and that play with a lot of heart and fight. And I believe if we can put that kind of product on the floor, I think we're going to get the kind of support from the fans that that we need. Because right now, I mean, women's basketball is hot. I mean, last year in college athletics, probably the two most famous or most popular players in college sports last year was Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, who were women's basketball players. So I think the sport is growing. We've seen the numbers that the WNBA has put up since Caitlin Clark has gotten to the league. And as we've shown that if we get the amount of support in our sport, that we can put a great product out there. So that's what we're planning to do with my program.
So now that you've started practice, and I know it's been limited, there hasn't been much time yet, but does it look like the team that you envisioned? Does it look like a gritty team, or do they look like they have chips on their shoulders? Is that vision being fulfilled in your mind so far? I know it's very early.
Yeah, it really is. I think, and I think you can see it with, I think we'll have a little bit more depth than we had last year. It's kind of the head of it, I would say, in any, like saying the defensive style is going to be your point guards. And I think us adding Taylor Jameson, who's a kid from Wichita Heights that transferred back home for her last year from George Mason. And then we have a freshman kid named Kylia Parr, that was two-time state, champion and two-time MVP in Texas in 5A the last 2 years. And I think they're kind of like the heart and soul of our defense and that whole kind of tenacity. Both of them were probably about 5'5 and 5'6, but they're tough and gritty and scrappy. And both of those young ladies are at the heart and at the top of what we're going to do defensively. And they both probably had the biggest chips on their shoulders than anybody that we had.
Talking now with Terry Nooner. He is the women's basketball coach at Wichita State. I like what you've done with your non-conference schedule. You've mixed in a lot of games against intriguing opponents, including Missouri State. You mentioned Missouri State. They're coming back to play here at Koch Arena. You've got a home game as well against Oklahoma. You're playing Creighton in a tournament in Florida. And then you've got the game at Kansas, your alma mater. So what was the philosophy in putting together this schedule?
I think we wanted to make sure we challenge ourselves, of course, and then just from our administration and my kind of theory on it, as you build a program, we want to schedule to a point where if we win how we're supposed to win, that we schedule well enough to be able to receive an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. So I know it's only my second year, but that's still kind of like our philosophy here. And so I thought we did a good job of you know, with Oklahoma coming here and being able to play Belmont, too, at home, who's going to be great in their league, and Missouri State is going to be great in their league, and Creighton is always nationally ranked. And so I think we did a good job of challenging ourselves, but I think we got good opportunities to play good competition that I think we really can compete with.
You talked about your couple backcourt players and mentioned, you know, they're 5'5", 5'6". Is there still a place for 5'5", 5'6" players in women's basketball? I know getting taller and bigger all the time, but what do those type of players have to do to succeed?
Just be, tough. They're both tough. They're fast. And no matter, and if you ever meet them, if you make any remarks about their height, they really take it personal. And they just, and to a point where it's just, they just believe in themselves. And you know, the game really now isn't really a post-up game as much as it used to be. And both of those young ladies, even when we're practicing against our practice guys, and they'll try to post them up, but they're so scrappy and tough and strong and quick that they just don't let that deter them that their height is low. Both of those two young ladies probably also have our highest verticals on the team. So even though they're short in height, they're big in stature and hard and grit and that kind of stuff.
Well, we appreciate the forewarning on not asking them about their size if we get them on the show. Let me ask you this, Terry. You've talked about your guard play. What's it look like in your front court? Because you do have some players with size, obviously.
Yes.
How much do you expect these players to contribute?
I expect a lot. Like probably our last kid we signed was a kid named Aishan Ndour. Who's a 6'6" kid that kind of went through some injuries. She transferred in from Illinois, but she's mobile, great body, left-handed. She has touch to, you know, the high post. She can even, in a workout, she can make some threes, but just a big physical presence who will be able to rebound. She can run. She can guard ball screens. She blocks shots. So she's going to be huge for us. We also added a junior college kid named Mai Sissoko that came from Cloud County. And she was probably she was one of the junior colleges. Like, she was top five, I believe, in rebounding. She averaged about 15 to 16 rebounds a game last year and just has an unbelievable motor. And she plays super-duper hard, and she's athletic and bouncy. And then also Jayla Murray, who started a lot for us as the four last year. She's over a year removed from her ACL injury, and she's looking deadly as a forward. And then a kid named Breon White that we brought in from the transfer to us from TCU. So with Jayla and Breon, if we ever play teams that try to play small, we can play those two as our four and our five, and we match up with people perfectly.
Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you one more question. We're talking with Terry Nooner of the Wichita State women's basketball. You've obviously played at a high level collegiately. I've followed basketball my entire life, as Jeff has. Did you ever think we'd get to a point, especially this suddenly, where the most famous player in the world is a woman, and deservedly so, Caitlin Clark? It's just remarkable to me.
No, I think probably not as much when I played, but I think once I started coaching a group of girls, and actually my recruiting coordinator, she played for me. She's 29 now, Brooke Costley. She actually played for me when I first started coaching other girls. So I've been knowing her since she's 12 years old. But back then, once I started coaching those young ladies, and one thing the parents told me is don't coach them like girls, treat them like athletes. And so that was kind of my mindset. But I think just me seeing how good the game grew from me being at a coaching, started from the grassroots level, and seeing that the type of potential it had, and understanding the skill level that we had in our game, I thought we had all of the potential. And I mean, Caitlin Clark was a kid that I was talking to and recruiting when I was at Maryland as assistant coach. So we could kind of see those kids coming up the ranks, and we knew that if they did what they were supposed to do potential wise, it could really blow our sport up.
Well, it has for sure. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and we'll get you on hopefully before the season begins.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks.
All right, Terry Nooner, Wichita State women's basketball coach.
I can disagree more with Jim Rome on the bunt situation. I know you got Betts and Freeman also, but you bunt and you have runners at second and third.
You got to give it context.
Well, he was just talking about it. The Dodgers down,
Miguel,
I believe.
Miguel Rojas didn't do a triple play to end the game last night.
Yes.
Bunt the ball.
It was 4-2. Runners on first and second.
Get those runners in scoring
obviously
position.
Obviously no outs. You get them to second and third. They don't pitch to Shohei.
And they pitched to Mookie.
Yeah, what? And with a double play in
and
order, nothing has changed.
Let's go ahead and get the bunt down. I'm in complete agreement with Rome.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am. I completely am.
There's no way. So you don't want Shohei to bat?
No, I want Mookie Betts to bat and Freddie Freeman to bat.
I guess.
Yeah. Even though they didn't do a whole lot in that game last night. I get it. So on another baseball note, what the heck's going on with the Pittsburgh Pirates not giving Rowdy Tellez four more plate appearances?
Pretty weak.
Get him a couple hundred grand. Tell him thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible.
And then for Ben Cherington to act like, oh, this had nothing to do with that. Shut up. And let me tell you what else you needed to do. If you want to cut Rowdy Tellez and say, you know, we've got five games left, we're going to give these opportunities to younger guys.
Give him his $200,000
anyway.
You give
him his $200,000.
I agree. He didn't really do anything to. He has had a bad September, but that's 1 month. He had three really good months.
Yeah, he's okay. He was nothing. I mean, he's a guy you bring in, you hope you get 20 homers, 25 homers maybe, a little pop in your lineup. But you give the guy a couple hundred grand, which is a drop in the bucket, even for the Pirates.
Just make sure.
How do you think Paul Skeens looks at that?
Probably doesn't like it. And probably other people, not that the Pirates deal in high dollar free agents, but just makes your organization look terrible. No one ever would want to go there.
It's the worst PR move in the world. You morons in Pittsburgh. I'm so mad. I'm even mad at Ted Woodward. Longtime Pirates fan. I mean, what do you think?
I bet he's mad.
What are you thinking, Ted? And when I call him Ted, he knows something's
well,
up.
That is his name.
Well, I usually call him Ball Game or.
I've never heard you call him Ball Game.
Teddy.
Maybe Teddy occasionally, but never Ball Game.
I've called him Ball Game forever.
Teddy Ball Game?
No, I just call him Ball Game.
I don't think so. I don't think that's happened.
Well, ask him.
I will.
I've called him Theo. But rarely Ted unless I'm upset with him.
It's not his fault.
But he's associated. It's guilt by association.
I don't think so.
If the Cardinals did this, I don't know what I'd do.
You'd be ashamed.
I would be.
But you wouldn't expect others to be mad at you.
Maybe.
I don't know. The Pirates.
If the Guardians did it, I'd disown you.
Well,
how do you feel about that?
Maybe they should do it then.
How do you feel about that?
Do you own me?
No, I disown you.
Don't you have to own to disown?
I do own you.
You do.
It's obvious on this show.
Interesting.
Every day I own you. It's so blatant.
How much do you enjoy getting a different perspective on things?
I like different perspectives. What I don't like is ridiculous perspective.
There's nothing ridiculous about my perspective.
Sometimes there is.
Maybe. But you got to put yourself out there.
Royals got to win tonight, although Minnesota's making this too easy. They're not even putting up a fight.
We should be beating the Marlins.
They're not even putting up a fight right now.
Doesn't seem like it.
That's so disgusting. Who do I know that's a Twins fan?
Well, you know the Twins organization that resides right here in Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah, but is that guilt by association?
I don't know. Ask Tim Grubbs. He's still weighing in.
What do you mean he's still weighing?
We have a group text.
What'd he say?
I'm not going to share that.
Well, no, I want to know.
I'll tell
why,
you off
and
the
why
air.
Why am I not on it?
I'll tell you. Why would you be on it? You don't work.
I'm a mainstream
guy. You don't work at the
guy.
Stadium.
I'm as mainstream as I get.
Well, come work at the stadium, and you'll be on the text chain.
I'll be on every text chain in Wichita.
He hasn't said anything controversial, but being that he works for the organization, I would rather
not. No, he works for the Wind Surge. He doesn't work for the Twins. His check isn't signed by the Twins. His check is signed by the
Wind. He's in the organization. He and me and Byron Buxton.
Your check isn't signed by
our colleagues.
No, your check isn't signed by the Twins.
It isn't?
There's not one member of the Twins.
I thought Carl Pohlad.
Who knows you are alive.
Is Carl Pohlad still alive?
If you were to, tragically, and I don't want this to happen, if something terrible was to happen to you.
You don't think the Twins would send
The Twins wouldn't send a wreath.
They wouldn't send a rep to the funeral?
No, of course
not. One of the best official scorers in our organization.
You're not in their organization.
That's fallen. Whose organization am I in?
You're in the Wind Surge organization.
Interesting.
See how what I mean?
What organization?
Do you really think you work for the Twins?
Oh, yeah.
No, be honest.
Does Zebby Matthews, did he work for the Twins?
Be honest, Jeff. Do you work for the Minnesota Twins?
Does Luke Keyshaw work
for them? Who signs your check?
I don't know.
You never look at it?
I get a direct deposit. I haven't gotten a check from them, I don't think, ever. But I assume.
I think you're kidding. I'm almost sure you're kidding.
But I assume Carl Pohlad signed.
Now I know. I'm fairly sure you're
He's
kidding.
He's still alive.
Or, and I hate to say this, if you're not kidding.
Well, I think I can get a PDF.
You might be the person ever.
I think I can get a PDF of my check. And yeah, Jim Pohlad as the owner. He signed it. On the PDF.
Why are you ending the show like this?
I don't know. Why
like
not?
A moron. I don't get it. I don't understand
Joe
Pohlad's people.
The day-to-day, but Jim is the owner.
I don't understand people who are willing to make themselves look bad.
Carl, God rest his soul.
I don't get it. Can you explain it
How does
me?
That make me look bad? By being in the Twins organization.
You look like you don't know anything.
Do you think they consider me a traitor because I root for the Guardians?
I'm tired of this conversation. Why are you doing it?
I'm just asking questions.
I have a certain level of excellence.
You do? A certain level of, yeah. I agree, none.
That I try to attain on a daily basis.
That is a certain level.
In everything I do. That's always my goal.
Hard to tell, but we'll believe
it. Was
you.
I excellent today? Sometimes I fall short.
I feel like I was.
You were excellent
I
today.
I feel like I was. Where did I miss the mark?
On the NIL, you were a blithering.
But I stated my opinions very clearly, which is all that matters. I didn't bumble around. I didn't, I think maybe that.
You usually do that.
I came at you.
You usually do that, and that's unfortunate. We do not have a show tomorrow, and I will not be here Friday.
Devastating.
4-day weekend for yours truly, and I'm looking forward to it. Heck, I might take Monday off. Let me look at Monday.
You're not.
You never know.
I got Monday off.
You just never know. I may take Tuesday off.
I may take the whole week off. You can't keep me. You can't stop me from not coming, right?
What?
You know what I mean.
What does that
mean? If I don't show up, then I took the day off, right? I don't have to show up.
So you wouldn't even tell me?
I do this out of the goodness of my heart.
You wouldn't even tell me?
I probably would tell you. But I'll also be here, so it doesn't really matter.
You have tried to compete with me for the last 30 years. Seriously.
You believe that, don't you?
No, I really do believe it. I know it.
I think you've tried to compete with me, sir.
No, I don't try to compete with,
Nor do I.
I set my aspirations
to some level of excellence.
A little higher. No offense. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
We'll see you all on Friday. Have a good evening and a good day tomorrow. Thanks to Max back in the studio. See you soon.